broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The private collection of Joan Rivers is up for auction. Michael Jackson continues to creep us out. Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes are a couple, and we're excited for the OC and Jersey Housewives. Taylor Swift steps out with her new man. That and much more ranting with Kelly Williams and Jen Gam right here. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from two friends of mine, and we're getting ready to talk a lot about things, a lot of different things in this episode, so definitely pay attention, please, because it's going to be good. I am sitting next to my friend, TV Encyclopedia Kelly Williams.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, Kelly and I go back to the NBC Page program, and we're still NBC buddies today.
Are.
We're each other's sounding board for a lot of things, to be honest.
Yes, a lot of ranting going on between us.
Very true. G-chat all day, like a lot of stuff happening. And through Kelly, I know my new good friend, Jen.
Hi.
Hi. What do we call you? You're the animator enthusiast, the animation enthusiast. Jennifer Gam is here.
Hi.
You ready to rant? Are you ready to talk?
Yes. Okay. I'm so excited to be here. I have been waiting for this for a while.
I know. You've been
very
patient. You've been patient, and
yeah.
I'm so glad that it's time to get going.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about a few things. But first, let me turn my attention to a little thing I want to talk about. I want to turn my attention to the shootings that occurred in Florida. And this really affected me very much. And I have been like just addicted to following this and trying to remember the victims and looking at everything that's happened. And I'm also super involved right now in following the politics behind this and what is not happening. You know, most people, it's like, oh, well, what's happening in Washington? Well, nothing. And I've been just following this sit-in and this filibuster. It's been like, I never thought I would like extend like leaving for lunch to watch C-SPAN.
I completely agree. I think this is finally the event that woke everyone up and they're not going to take it anymore. So I'm completely plugged in as much as you are, just watching everything I can. And it's kind of a nice, refreshing way to really see how our government works. And I feel like so many people were so checked out because of the election and they're just dissatisfied. So really wanting to see their voice and action is finally happening, and that's kind of, that to me is the good that is coming out of this crazy, terrible event.
You know, all I can do is just hope for the best, and I called my senators, I called my house rep, the rep of mine from Rhode Island has an A+ rating with the NRA, so I knew that was going north. And the woman I talked to on the phone, she said, okay, well, good luck. And I said, yeah, well, we're all going to need some luck. We're all going to need luck, let me tell you.
I think that this event is really the tipping point for our presidential election, because depending on how our the candidates respond to this, because it's been such a tidal wave, that I really think it will change the direction of where our president will, like, who our president will be, I think.
I certainly hope so. I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But it's exciting and super maddening all at the same time, that I'm ashamed by Paul Ryan for hiding in his office and for all that he's said and not said in the press. He likes to hold these press conferences where he laughs at Democrats and calls them names, but they're the only ones there. He's not even doing his job. And, you know, you can stand wherever you want politically, but basically he is failing. He's making the system fail. He's failing to do his job and to show up and to listen to folks that represent their constituents. So, I mean, I'm just super tied up into it, and I just think that we need to do something like so many Americans, but yet they like to say that it's the majority doesn't want to have any of these background checks and loopholes closed. I mean, it's just like, it's literally just like slamming your head up against a wall constantly. Everything you read is just so backwards.
Yeah, it is crazy how the arguments I'm seeing, and I feel like I've had to kind of either delete or block or hide so many things in my newsfeed.
I agree. I've had to like step away from social media for a few.
It's really crazy to kind of see the ignorance that I did not know really was out there in my social circle. So I am just kind of taking a step back and okay.
I do agree. The ignorance is too much. I've had to remove a few people because it was just stupid. Like, just, you could tell these people were just, like, on drugs making comments. I mean, there was just, they weren't, you know, using correct English. They words were missing.
Or they're malinformed? Misinformed? Yeah. Misinformed. They just don't know their facts correctly, or they're just responding out of, like, what they think they know.
I think it's so, you'll always find some source to support your point of view, but it's just really amazing where people are getting their information and using it as gospel. So that has been another very interesting turn of events coming out of all of
this. I mean, I had one Facebook quote friend who I removed, and then I didn't even refresh the page. I had a notification, and it was him adding me back. Do you get notifications when people remove you? Like, it was, like, instant. Ooh. It was almost like he was waiting for me to unfriend him because the comment was so ignorant.
That's so crazy.
It was very odd and instantaneous. But what can we do except hope for the best and hope that our government will listen to the people? This show is not about politics, but this really got to me, and I've been so fired up. Anyone that follows me on Twitter knows I've been retweeting up a storm. So I just felt like I wanted to use this platform to shout it out and to say, look, like they've been saying, enough is enough. But let's talk about a few other things. Let's have some fun on the show.
Yes, because I want fun.
We came here to have fun.
Yes, so let's talk.
And wine.
And wine, of course.
Let's talk about Joan Rivers and the auction that Christie's is holding at her New York apartment extraordinaire, wherever it is now. It's like she sold that space. So, but these are the items, jewels, things that were in this amazing space. And she's selling a lot of stuff. I mean, what kind of caught your eye? I mean, there's a great article in Vanity Fair, photos, descriptions. What were a few things that you noticed?
I mean, the one I saw was I think it was like a brooch or like a bead, a giant brooch that like that size, and and it was just crystals and diamonds, and I'm like, I can only imagine how much that was. And she probably, I wonder how many times she would wear something like that and then she would just forget about.
I mean, to me, I'm a huge jewelry person and a huge real estate person. So what caught my eye was a $1,500 estimated dog house.
Yes. It's a little real estate.
I could not imagine owning something
that's
like that.
A little more.
What's inside? Like, what's inside that makes
sure,
you?
Like a really plush pillow or something.
Is it made out of like... Yeah. It blows my mind.
Like a rare, rare duck feather from like the Netherlands or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Dog certainly doesn't know.
Or they
$1,500 dog house. So I'm out.
Crazy.
Very odd. Very odd. There were a few things. Speaking to the brooch that you mentioned, there was one of many. I mean, they were all beautiful, but they said that the crown jewel was a platinum flower brooch that Rivers designed, and it evolved over the years. I guess they added to it. They added a removable stem, and that she had her mother's earrings made into the petals, and that's estimated to be worth $30,000 to $50,000. So,
wow.
I mean, super custom, very nice. But here's what I'm saying. She's got so many things on this list that are so nice that they're auctioning. Yet, I can only imagine what they kept. If this is stuff, like, her mother's earrings are on this, like, Melissa's grandmother's earrings are on it, yet it's like, yeah, no, we'll sell this one. So what are they keeping?
I can only imagine. I mean, the real estate alone that Melissa just sold is unbelievable.
The apartment. The one apartment that she had.
The one New York apartment on its own is just unbelievable.
$28 million.
So I can't even imagine what else was in there. I remember when they hosted the red carpets, that's when she would really show off a lot of the jewelry, more so than from what I remember, performing and doing stand-up. So I feel like there's a lot of gems if we kind of look back at some old red carpets.
Yeah.
We'd be seeing a lot of what Melissa got to keep.
Yeah, well, there was an ochre evening gown with a cape that was worn at the 1990 Tony Awards.
Oh, man.
So there's the, you can just imagine.
I can't. Yeah.
I can only imagine, like, the different... the animal print, like giant winter coats that she flaunted in, you know, different like shows and like red carpets and even stuff from like the 70s. I can only imagine.
Yeah. There's no one like Joan.
And no one.
There's no, probably
miss
no
her.
Wardrobe like her either.
Oh, miss her.
Miss her.
Yeah, she's getting rid of a lot of different things, and they're all, you know, they're not untouchable. Some of these things are like a thou or two, and then you get into things like these outfits that are just like this one silver-tipped gold-mounted star, sapphire, and diamond pendant. Well, that will set you back between $70,000 and $80,000.
I mean,
no casual. Yeah.
I wonder, you know, I'm curious as to who's going to be there. Like, who are they sending? Or because I learned about, like, that whole, you know, the whole business of auctioning and, you know, people who they send and whatever.
Yeah,
and it's just really interesting to see who's there and who actually shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'm sure, I mean, with the jewelry, I if the stones are as great quality as I anticipate, they're probably going to kind of take apart a lot of this stuff.
And really?
If it's, I would assume
really?
So. Or not, if it's super antique, but often that happens.
They, like, take it apart?
They'll take it apart.
Oh.
They'll use the stones for something else. They'll redesign. They'll create a bigger piece, something. And it depends who the client is, because a lot of times they'll have... a client that's just like, I need like an 8-carat sapphire for this piece that I want to design. So go find it for me.
That's so interesting.
Happens to be in Joan Rivers' pendant, then that's where it came from.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Yeah, this will be an interesting mix.
And it, depending on like how long it goes, it can go on for like a really long time.
Knows?
Melissa was on Wendy Williams, my Bible.
Oh,
interesting.
And
that's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Didn't think that was her brand, but okay.
She was on there and she's talking about how there's like an online auction and then there's the one in New York for like this big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really like hawking all this stuff. I was like, yeah, there's something for everyone. Like it was kind of like a garage sale the way she talked about it.
It's interesting to me because she doesn't need the money. So is this going to like a foundation?
Yeah, that's what
is
I was
this
thinking.
Going to Melissa herself? I mean, it doesn't seem like
because auctions
starving
always
for cash here. So is this going? I know. I mean, Liz Taylor auction was amazing, but that went to her AIDS Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering like, where these proceeds are going.
Oh, I'm sure Christie's is going to take a big
chunk
of
it.
Ugh.
Especially with the service and the maintenance and everything.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to keep an eye open on what happens to all
forward,
the stuff.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing what comes out about it.
I feel like some celebrities probably want some of her stuff. Just, you know, how they're just like
because.
Showpieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally could be wrong, but I think Mariah Carey owns, like, something of Marilyn Monroe's and
they always do that
like show pieces so I wonder if I'd be interested to see if there's any names that we know to buy her stuff.
Well, from one superstar leaving things behind to another of a different kind, Michael Jackson is back in the news. I mean, it's like, you know,
never
know. I can't with this story.
I can't. It was,
you know,
when I heard it, I was like, is this even happening? Like, I just couldn't even fathom.
Like, we already know this stuff. Like, why is this still kind of a new, I mean, I guess anything Michael is always going to be a new story, but just like, thanks for telling me what I already know.
Well, what we found out a review perhaps was that 80 videos, hard drives, diaries, audio tapes were found, turned in while there was an investigation going on in 2003, and they consist of things like, of course, child pornography and animal sacrifices and animals getting tortured and things like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say, but, you know, really grotesque and disgusting things. And the sheriff said that the photos were evidence that they used when they investigated him, but others were found online. And I read that a couple times, and I didn't really understand what he meant. Like, does that mean that some are part of the evidence, and then because Page Six, no, actually, it was Daily Mail, which is like, you never know.
Ooh. I mean, I love their stories, but yeah. They are what they are.
Yes. Daily Mail had an article that was like, see Michael Jackson's secret stash of odd photography. And I was like, can this even be like on, like, can I even look at this? Like, what is this? What even is this? And it was all like freakish clown stuff. Like, there were actual clowns that reminded me of, like, Freak Show. You know, like, American Horror Story, where everything was, like, a little odd.
Yes. Yeah.
It was all, like, pushing the envelope.
This did come from Neverland Ranch, which was, in itself, kind of American Horror Story hotel.
But I'm always thinking, like, he had so many, like, people that wanted to bring him down. I'm wondering if they might have just put it there, you know? Or, like, if they might have, like, you know, intentionally put that stuff there to make him look like he did. He was into that stuff.
A lot of that going on, but also at the end of the day, the way I see it, he was a super talented, messed up child star. So the story is really not that different than any messed up child star. No. It's just on such a bigger scale.
Well, but there was also molestation involved in child pornography, and people do years for that. You know?
I mean, don't doubt that he should have, but. Yeah. We'll never know.
Yeah. I mean, I stopped looking at all those things. That was just so freaking... I was like, I don't want to dream
of
this stuff.
Hours of coverage of the trials.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I mean, hours.
He got sick during that time, too, because it was so taxing on him emotionally and, like, just physically.
Weeks, and... gosh.
Well, I remember I was actually in my friend, listener to the show, Talia's bedroom, and we were listening to the radio, of all things, when they announced that he was, innocent and all that? Or no, he faced some charges, didn't he?
He had some, but he was acquitted of the major... things that would have put him in jail for a very long time, but
I remember listening to that with her, and that was on the radio of all things. Yeah. And then after that, that's when I got into the Anna Nicole Smith trial. Like, it was like my job. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Housewives. I want to talk a little bit about Orange County Housewives, and their show is back.
They are back.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot healthier. I think everyone likes an original.
I do enjoy it, but I'm partial to New Jersey. That mess just has me hooked.
Well, it's coming back in July for a 90-minute premiere.
Well, Teresa gets out of jail, so...
She does?
In the premiere. So there's a lot to...
That'll be so interesting.
It's emotional.
I will tune into that, because I followed... See, I didn't watch New Jersey, but I followed the political side, like the news side of whole...
The trial.
And it was just so interesting. Like, what is this housewife star? And, like, why is she going to jail? Like, what did she do? Like, she's a housewife star. Like, what did she do that, like, she didn't, like, make dinner on time, so she's going to jail for that? And, like...
Well, it's so funny, because I wonder how long it would have taken the feds to figure out all of this had she not been such a public personality.
Well, they did blame the show a little bit. So, come on. You don't go on a show when you have things like that happening.
You just can't.
Yeah, and you also don't just sign papers because your husband tells you to either.
But I can't believe, to me, the biggest thing is, like, she's still with him. Like, your husband, like...
That stems from a legal perspective. She is much better off, I think, at this point, still being married to him.
He's better.
He's certainly better off.
Because or else he'd get deported, right?
I think he still might.
They will come to that ruling when he completes his sentence. So that's looming over their heads when she's in there, then he goes, they still don't know. So that is like a personal hell in and of itself. Yeah.
How long is he in there for?
I think it was like 3.
She got reduced from three. I think he's sentenced.
To me, I worry.
Excuse me, 41 months he's been sentenced to prison. Okay. Joe Giudice, 41
I mean,
months.
Not that that's, you know.
I know. I mean.
Anyways, but I just worry. I think about the girls. Especially the oldest one that's 13 or 14. Yeah. That could, like, her future, that could really, like, put her in, like, such a difficult position, like, at school, in college. Like, that's such a pivotal moment in, like, growing up.
Yeah.
We will find out on the premiere.
All right, yeah.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
And, you know, we'll be talking about it here on Grant's Rants. And, of course, you can catch the after show on AfterBuzz TV. I'll be co-hosting that show. Signing on for another, I'm doing double duty with OC in New Jersey. And, of course, they go on for like 24, 25 weeks. So this will take me into like Thanksgiving. But I'll be watching and I'll be talking about it. So
you know where to find Grant.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk about someone completely different. Let's talk about Jamie Foxx and Katie.
This is the weirdest couple pairing
yeah.
I have heard of in a really long time.
I love Katie. Like, I loved her for a long time, and I'm even, like, shocked by that. I thought she was just never going to date, because I think the whole experience with Tom Cruise, like, really, I mean, for me, if I were in her place, I would have been like, I'm not dating for a while.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm free, really. Yeah.
I heard.
No, but really, yeah.
I heard, like, years ago that they were rumored to be together and that it was a real big point of contention because Jamie is good friends with that other fool, Tom. So I thought it was, like, you know, that. So they said that, like, they were going to come to blows, and then nothing ever came of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess they did a good job of keeping it a secret until ex-Real Housewife and Rhode Islander Claudia Jordan opened her mouth on the Allegedly podcast. And she said, what did she say? She said, he is very happy with her. I like that he seems very happy.
But today, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, she retracted her statements and said that she misspoke. So someone's publicist just went nuts.
Yes.
And she's, she's in trouble.
She said, I don't have the knowledge of this being fact. I misspoke.
Okay.
That's what you do when you have to put your foot in your mouth. Yeah.
And then she said, or before that, she said, I have no knowledge of Jamie with Katie at all. I've never seen them together. He's never told me he's dating her.
Oh, man. So someone yelled at her for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, I mean, it looks like she's, like, just a big liar if you do take that into account.
I know, true.
If you do say, oh, well, okay, if you're going to buy into all that, then you think she's a big liar.
There's a picture of her.
But now I know who she is. So, mission accomplished for her.
That's true. So, yeah, well, Katie Holmes escaped with Suri. Suri's now 10. And according to Page
Which
is Six,
crazy.
That's insane.
I remember when she was born.
Yeah, that Vanity Fair cover. Yeah, really. Well, he supposedly hasn't seen his daughter in 3 years, allegedly.
Yeah.
And they're blaming that on Scientology because they're non-believers. They're considered to be suppressive people. So because of that, he doesn't see his daughter.
So, question.
I've heard
I don't
both
think he
sides.
Sees any of his kids.
Well, he has two that he adopted.
Right.
They're in Scientology.
They're both Scientologists. And she got married, Isabella. She got married in England to, I don't know if he was a musician or something, but she got married, and it was, like, all over the London news.
Okay.
And her brother was there. Or I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. He's a DJ, too. And I've seen him, like, advertised around, like,
LA.
Just in
really?
LA. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen that as well. But because I'm getting the feeling that he doesn't see really any of his kids. It's not just Suri, but I could be completely
wrong. I think
wrong.
He does see. He definitely. He does see Connor and Isabella. I mean, obviously, Suri, I wouldn't be surprised. I know Isabella and Connor don't care about Nicole. Like, they just don't see her. And Nicole's been like, she's public. She never talks about it, but she said that. that it wasn't her choice. It was like Scientology, and like overall, over the years, the kids like, kind of just kept her at a distance.
I feel like the Scientology thing kind of, I would run in the other direction fast as possible.
Yeah.
So it makes total sense to me that Katie would not want her daughter anywhere near him.
Yeah. One thing I always ask when we talk about Scientology and Grant's rants is, do either of you know any Scientologists?
No.
It's just so interesting because they act like they reign supreme and that there's this large group and they have such a presence, I guess, building real estate-wise in the city, but we don't know any.
I have to be completely honest. I did not know what it was before I was in L.A. I have to be completely honest about it. I knew that Tom Cruise was a Scientologist and people would, and John Travolta, and people would talk about it. But before I moved here and actually saw the buildings and, like, really looked into what this was, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I would just kind of, like, nod my head and be like, yeah, he's a weirdo.
I
think after I saw that documentary about Scientology, that really put things into perspective.
That was so interesting to me for so many reasons, but because it featured people who got out, who were willing to speak, that is what really spoke to me. And apparently Leah Remini has her show on TLC kind of about her life
after it.
Oh, she'll be the first one to talk about it. Anytime they say the word Scientology, she's right there to give a statement.
I know. She's kind of like the poster child for the people who got out. Going back to Katie, I feel like just the difference in her interviews.
Yeah.
When she was under that spell versus now, where she's like talking about her clothing line and her business and kind of speaking like a normal person versus the like, we're so in love and like everything's about that. And everything is amazing. And I'm just like, okay.
The maneuver that her and her father made to get out of that marriage with Tom has to go down as like
I heard
one of the best escapes ever.
The great escape.
The great escape.
I read that she had to buy a phone, like a Metro PCS phone.
Like a burner?
I don't even know. Yeah, a burner phone.
She had a burner
because,
phone.
And she had to, like, get her own lawyer to get everything. And she like, strategically did it in New York because if she didn't in California. Right. Like, she was very smart about it.
But was she? Because she got into it in the first place. So.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
That,
I mean, she was young, too. So if you have someone like Tom Cruise knocking on your door.
I just think it's so weird that we know her as the Scientology wife instead of
Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
Like, that's so out of my memory.
Totally.
And it's completely. Just like, oh, my God, Katie Holmes.
Absolutely, I just remember when they started dating, I'm like, this is so random. Actress from Dawson's Creek.
I don't know, there was a list of potential people that they reached out to be Tom's wife.
Yes.
And she was like number three or something.
Oh.
I want to say J-Lo was one of them on the list.
J-Lo was rumored to be courted by Scientology quite a bit because she was always friends with Leah. So she said that they came to her like a couple times and they were like, we really want you to be part of this. Like, can you start talking about the classes that we want you to take? And she's like, no. She's just like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
They don't have this back
allegedly.
In New York.
Yeah. This is a Mama 6, so I'm not.
Let's talk about someone completely different. Let's talk about Taylor Swift and who she's with currently.
I love all the guys. I know. Yes, all the way. I love everyone that she dates. I don't care
who
she dates.
Her media strategy is impeccable.
Unreal. Yes.
Yeah. I love Tom Hiddleston, and he like that pairing. It just makes me really happy. Although I love Taylor and Calvin, they were really cute.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She's young. Like, she's gonna date. That's just how it is.
She has at least four more albums in her before she kind of like
checks
out.
Yeah.
So we're gonna need at least three more guys.
Okay.
This is all me speculating, but I feel like when she hits 30, she's gonna be like, "All right, let's pick one."
Yeah.
But this is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Staging it at the Met Ball
and the dancing.
You think that's all PR?
Every single part of her relationships when she turned 17 have been orchestrated for her benefit. And I love it.
I mean, I love it too, because I also get to see, like, every guy that she's dated, she's like, she has a new hairdo and she starts, like, wearing different outfits. So, like, yesterday she was at this concert and she had this, like, red crop top and, like, this long dress and, like, her bleached blonde hair up in a, like, it's such a different look. And I love it. I mean, she's, like, growing, her style is evolving. And
see, normally someone like her would annoy me, but I can get behind it. I don't mind her.
Because you know, at like a year and a half from now, we're going to be like, which one is the Calvin breakup song?
Like, I love that at the Met Ball, she has, like, you know, dark lipstick. Like, when that's just part that's new to her brand.
Yeah.
And, like, that bleached blonde hair.
The thing that she's not worried about it, and she's made plenty of money, but she made her money and kind of got famous for having the songs that she's just an ordinary girl in high school.
Yeah.
And yeah. She's the nerd, whatever. And she's so far removed from that that I feel like her younger fan base just cannot relate anymore. Like, they're not...
I think it's
going
just...
Going to the Met Ball.
Right. I mean, I agree with that. But that happened with Britney, too. I mean, and Rihanna. Rihanna was singing about umbrellas, and now she's, you know, she's,
yeah,
now she's singing about, well, like, work it, and, like, same with Nicki, I'm sorry, but, like, you know.
Well, I don't ever think, well, I was not in the demo to relate to her song,
I know, but I'm just saying, like.
I don't know.
There's nobody cheaper and more of a knockoff than Nicki Minaj.
I think the new guy she's dating, Tom, I'm just jealous.
Didn't expect at this point, that.
I'm so jealous because I love him. Like, he's incredible. I don't know him.
I do not know him.
So he's kind of
a scripted program. Yeah. So you wouldn't.
Yeah. I wouldn't know him.
And he came from, like, a very well-established family, and he went to really great schools in London.
He's also an amazing actor.
He's talented. And, like, how did they meet? Like, how did they, like,
her publicist
called him up?
See, I think Calvin Harris is a lot better looking than him. He's got a very European, like, London look to him. So if you like that.
He puts on an iPod and stands behind a thing and is like, all right, I'm a DJ.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just very different. Like, two very different.
Oh, very, yeah.
You know, Calvin's a DJ, and he does, like, Vegas and EDC, and he's always behind a podium and, like, on a stage at Coachella, and, like, that's his thing. And he's, you know, going to BAFTA and, like, going to BAFTA breakfasts and like, lunches in Beverly Hills. Like, that's his scene.
It's a different...
And a little more cultured for Taylor, I guess.
He goes to Wimbledon now. Like, he goes to Wimbledon.
He's much older.
He's 35, and Calvin was 32.
But for her, I think that's usually... Well, I don't know. John Mayer was...
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was...
And Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, my gosh. He was, like, 15 years old.
I mean, everyone.
My math is probably...
Yeah, but then she dates Connor, who's, like, 17.
Oh, my gosh. He was 18?
Yeah.
Well, I better hurry up and get this podcast up before she's moving on. This is old news.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
And we're back talking with Jen and Kelly, and we're going to talk a little bit about what they do out here in LA. And we're having a joint interview because both of these ladies are sorority sisters. And they both went to the show, and that's why I know Jen through Kelly. So I figured, why don't we just do a show together? So we've never done a part two one-on-one with two other people, so let's see how this one goes. Let's talk briefly about what you guys do out here and what brought you out to LA. What are you working on?
So I'm working in advertising, and I moved out here because I went to school and I wanted to work in entertainment. And I, you know, when I moved out here, I was like, I want to work in publicity. I want to do PR. That's what I wanted to do back then. And then, you know, just kind of taking different jobs, and I took a lot of, like, random internships. I worked in music, I worked in publicity for, like, music publicity. I worked at a production company, And then, I don't know, the advertising job just kind of fell in my lap, and I really liked it, and I've kind of just been doing it ever since. I've been doing the agency world, and it's very different from the talent agency world with entertainment. Yeah. Still, you know, still pretty, like, it's pretty intense, yeah. But, you know, you're still kind of connected in the entertainment world, because, you know, our client, we're doing a lot of branded content, and I get to, you know, do a lot of fun stuff. Like, we get to go to Honda on stage and, like, work with different artists, and it's really cool, but it's from a different angle from what Kelly, you know, and what you would do. It's just very fun, and I really like it, and I wanted to stay in LA, and, like, I love living here. It's, you know, it's really tough to live here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and getting used to the transition from going from school to city and, like, actually being here, it was very hard, but it was, you know, there's a lot to learn from that, and I think one of the things that I gathered from everything was just, like, persistence and, like, actually staying on it and like keep working at it and just having fun and finding ways to still not get clouded or jaded by this whole experience, because, you know, there's, you can just go down the rabbit hole really easily if you don't so I guess it's just like finding that passion, that thing that keeps you going. And fortunately, I'm pretty happy, and I'm
What are some things that you work on, like, directly that we would maybe know of?
So the Fifth Harmony, I didn't directly work on that, but we had stuff, like, we had a concert for Fifth Harmony that lives in Vivo, and that was one of the things that we work on as well. And, you know, Super Bowl and March Madness, we do a lot of sponsorships, premium content, and a lot of exclusive content that lives on different channels. So it's pretty fun and very diverse.
Sounds it, yeah.
It's very very, very extensive. We have different partnerships with, like, different channels, like Sundance and the film festival and the TV, the network. So there's a lot, and it's really fun, and there's just so many different things that you can touch on, and I'm always learning, and it's just really fun. I like it. It's very different from, like, what I thought I was going to do, which was publicity. I really wanted to do PR and do talent management, but I found, you know, my niche, and, like, it was kind of fun. Yeah.
I think everyone finds their way into something that perhaps they didn't really imagine. I mean,
definitely.
Like me with, like, all this hosting, like, I, you know, started this just as a side, like, little project, and now it's something that I put tons and tons of hours into that I had no intention of getting into by moving out to LA at all. I mean, it wasn't even really on my radar. Like, I did college radio, and I would host events in, like, my town and school and stuff like that, but yeah, never really anything, but it just suits me the same way this position suits you.
Yeah, it really fell on my lap. I just had no idea. It's now something that I'm really happy about, but had you asked me in school that I was going to be doing what I'm doing now, I would have been like, no, like, that's completely different, and I want to, you know, work in entertainment, and I want to do, like, that stuff. Like, it was very specific, and then, I don't know, it's interesting. I think one of the biggest takeaways I would have is keep an open mind. Like, have an open mind, because if you don't, then you won't know what you're missing.
Yeah. See, I didn't have that when I went to school. I did not have an open mind about things. So I was like, I'm not going to deviate from what I want to do. Like, I remember my dad was like, no, you know, maybe you should, like, look at some marketing opportunities. I'm like, no, I already know what I'm doing. Like, I'm definitely doing development with that reality show. They're like, no, like, so no, no. And so, like, and then I actually...
It's true. No, it's so true, because... Yeah. But then
I was wrong. I was totally wrong.
But then there's also that you have to follow your passion. Like, there are people that have that passion. That they need to just, you know, they need, that's what they need to do. It's like musicians or actors. Some people, they just know that's what they want to do. But in the meantime, while you're trying to achieve that dream, you have to find other ways to keep it going.
Yeah.
To keep that dream alive.
The rent does not pay itself.
Yes, that's certainly the reality of trying to live here and do... live the dream,
absolutely,
if you will.
Yeah.
All right, Kelly, let's talk to you.
Definitely. Same as Jen, we went to school together. I moved out here to go to school, and we were sorority sisters.
Yeah.
Which is That's a story for another podcast. I actually did not stay out here after graduating. I moved back to New York, where I am originally from, and worked in marketing and advertising, which was totally not what I wanted to do. I was very much like you in school, and I knew I wanted to be in TV. I studied journalism and cinema, so I came to school thinking that I was going to be Oprah, and did a huge pivot and realized that I hate seeing myself on camera, and I will probably hate hearing the sound of my voice from this podcast, but I certainly did in my broadcast packages and loved interviewing people, but I never wanted to be on camera. But telling stories is the most important thing to me. And doing that in television, I've always been a huge TV watcher. I love talking about TV. I love to see what people are watching and what's interesting. And when I realized that that was a job that you could do, that's kind of always where my heart was. Mm-hmm. But the realities of being in Los Angeles, when you want something, it's not on your schedule. So there was nothing for me at the time that I was looking for it in the kind of TV side of things in LA. So I went back to New York, learned a ton. I learned how a business works, how to get people paid, kind of on Jen's side of things, working with clients and getting their revenue and their ads seen by people, and how do we get eyeballs on stuff.
Right.
So that was a great learning experience for me, but when you're in it and you're refreshing deadline and trying to just kind of somehow still be connected to the entertainment world, I didn't appreciate it, but now I'm just like, I could not imagine doing anything differently. Then I got a call while doing that to be in the NBC Page program in Los Angeles, and that's what brought me back. And currently, I'm still at NBC working in scheduling, primetime scheduling for the network. So figuring out what's on when, which is very cool, and something that I always wanted to do. So being having that opportunity open when there's 4 broadcast networks and probably 15 people that schedule, it's pretty cool to kind of get a seat at that table in such a small world. And there are challenges that come with that. It's hard. People will tell me that they love AMC and they love Breaking Bad when I tell them I work in television, and I don't correct them at this point when I'm just like, oh, not broadcast, not cable. Yeah. The average viewer doesn't really know what's on where and when, so it's interesting. Well, I would say that the viewer in the demo that we're looking for in the way that we make money is not really identifying a program with the network at this point. So it's an interesting shift. It will be interesting to see how it goes, because I will be around for the business shift. I don't know that the people that I work with will be, because they've been in it for a while. So, yeah, we will see what happens, right. And I hope to be a part of it, but, you know, for now, I'm just going to keep watching good TV.
Yes. Well, you know, Kelly and I met, well, we were both pages, and I'll never forget that we met sitting in the empty audience at the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and we were getting ready for all the tourists to come in and take their seats, which... I was in charge of seating that audience, like, and they never switched off. I had to do that for like 6 months, and it was exhausting. But now that I look back at it, like, I feel like telling myself just to like grow up. But I remember complaining because I was like, every day was like this long process of seating like 340 people or something like that.
And it's hot because you guys were wearing
wool uniforms.
Yeah. It was just really interesting because you did see such a cross section of people.
Oh, the people watching was real.
They were all there for a different reason. Like,
everyone was self-important because they all thought, well, we're getting in. We have tickets.
We're here. Like,
no seat was good enough.
Yeah.
They all deserve the front.
Nobody else matters except for us because we're on vacation. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But I remember talking with Kelly, and she was telling about her previous positions, and I could relate to her when it came to having to hang in there and having to really make whatever you're given work. And I just really related to you because, you know, at that time you had just moved across the country.
I was given 10 days to move across the country. I don't know what your phone call experience was.
I was already in LA.
I had a very interesting... I probably told this story to everybody that asked me about my Page experience. I was about to walk down into the subway. It was pouring rain, literally a scene out of a movie, and I was like so at my breaking point and wanted out of where I was and just really defeated. I was probably crying too, just about to walk into the subway, and I see an 818 area code calling my phone, and I'm just like,
who is this?
That's Burbank. I haven't seen that in a while. Like, who could this be? So I'm like, you know what? I'll pick it up. I'll see what it is. And it was a call for the Page program. And I'm like, thank God I didn't go down to the subway any earlier. Just the stars aligned in this weird way that I feel like this could apply really to any situation. It's like when you have really hit your bottom, something turns around.
Yep.
It's just you need to really get to the point where you can't take it anymore before something happens. At least that's my experience.
Yeah.
I got my call from the Page program to join and to begin when I was driving to AfterBuzz TV for the first time for an informational meeting, and I was out of work and at my lowest point at that point too, because I was just out of school. And I was like, just like working on reality shows, like day playing like a couple days here and there. And then I was like, you know, it's funny, I got picked up to do AfterBuzz the same day I got picked up to be at NBC, where I have now started a new job over there now. It's very odd, but it's all very real.
Yeah, I remember a long time ago. Because we both kind of went through the same post-grad experience. And the job search and everything kind of together. And we were always talking to each other and kind of keeping each other up. And I remember saying a long time ago, when it rains, it pours. And I have always had that. So
you've always said that.
You'll get 100 things or nothing. And I'm sure it's different for everyone, but we've both experienced that.
No, 100%. I think the biggest thing is, like, back then, it was 2011. Like, the economy was really bad in terms of jobs. Like, there was a scarcity of opportunities. Like, there 100%. Weren't, like, in order to, like, get an entry-level job back then was so hard.
I mean, NBC was not even the same company that it is today in so many respects.
I was interning pre-Comcast.
Yeah.
So it was...
When did they
went through 11, in 2012. 12,
right.
12, which, it's just kind of such...
That's exactly when I started.
I mean, the world that we were job searching in, it wasn't that long ago, but just, like, there was I didn't have a smartphone. I didn't have, And I don't feel old enough to be able to say, like, back in my day, but I kind of do feel that way. It's just the way you would approach something... now is so different.
It is, especially with the job search. Like, LinkedIn isn't what it was back then. Like, nowadays, everyone has a profile or everyone uses LinkedIn for connecting.
But there are a million job sites now. You don't know which one to sign up for, which one's really worth it.
Yeah, and I think, like, today LinkedIn has become so centralized in the job search. At least it was, you know, for me and a lot of friends. I tell them to... I mean, for entertainment, it might be different, but that's where a lot of people connect.
I also think the biggest problem, too, with just kind of people moving to LA is not knowing what they want. You are not going to hit a moving target, so you need to have some boundaries. So many people I'll get calls that, hey, like, I just... found you or whatever, and I found your information, and I just moved to LA and I want to do this, and I'm just like, you have given me such a broad
I have a friend that wants to work in music, and I'm like,
what does that mean? That's I want to work in America.
I don't know
what to do, because you just kind of have to pick something.
You need to look at the size of these companies. They're all under these big conglomerate umbrellas. Like, there's just too many places to go.
You have to do your homework. If you don't understand the world that you want to work in, you are not going to work in it.
Yeah,
it's and that, that's any industry. It's not just very entertainment. True.
Good advice. Good advice. I want to hear a little bit of a story that you guys had out there working in the business, or something that came across your way. Anyone got any good stories? I know Kelly's got one.
This was more of an LA living situation that I just, you would not have this experience any other way. I was at the doctor's office and just go up to the sign-in sheet like everyone else. I see Zoe Deschanel as the name above mine. And I'm like, okay, someone is just joking around, whatever. Can't possibly be her. And if it is her, she would never use her real name on like a random sign-in sheet. Turns out it was her. She was there at the office with her boyfriend, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching them, and I'm like, why is she here with her boyfriend? Like, she must be pregnant. Like, so I immediately reach out to my friends that work in entertainment news, and I'm like, she's pregnant. Like, this is it. Like, I broke the story. They reach out to her reps, and the reps deny, deny, deny. The next day, the story comes out that she's pregnant. And I'm just you're welcome. I broke that story.
On the scene, eyewitness.
I like to think that that was something that I contributed to entertainment news. And sorry, Zoe.
Sorry, Zoe, and any HIPAA laws.
Probably broke tons of laws. But she had the baby, so it's over.
It's all good.
I mean, I think a story, this was back like 6 years ago. My friends and I were driving on the 10 and we were coming back from the beach, and we see this couple in a Ferrari and we're driving behind them. And then I look around, I'm like, I feel like I recognize these people. And it was Ashton Kutcher and Demi Lovato. Demi Moore. And I was like, we were like freaking out because like it was such a Hollywood moment. Like these two big stars in a Ferrari, like he's driving a Ferrari and they're both like, you know, top down, like wind in their hair, total Hollywood moment. And we're just like, oh my gosh, it's them. So I tell my friend to pull up next to them, like right up next to them. And she honks and I like get out of the car and like I wave at them and they look over and they wave back. And we were like freaking out because it was so cool. Like this is back when they were really big. So it was years ago.
Yeah.
And they were like waving at us and they smiled and it was cool. It was such a random like.
Yeah. I always wonder who I pass on the road, you know?
We always bump into people. At least I always do. Yeah.
I'm always like.
I see people a lot.
When I'm not getting car accidents, I'm like.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we like always see look. Like.
Especially when we're together, we somehow always.
I've seen people from like Teen Wolf.
We have a lot of luck.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh yeah, we ran into. I, of course, was a nerd and NBC nerd. And I'm like, Hannibal. Yeah. And I'm screaming that out. And Jen actually knows his name.
Yeah. It was great. It's just. And we get to see really cool people. And
part of the job too. I think I'm really lucky to work on a studio lot where there's always
people
activity and people coming for meetings and shooting and stuff. So that
it's like an everyday
just
thing.
LA. I mean, it's not lost on me that I work at a theme like on a theme park, and I can see Jurassic Park from my office window, and people pay to take a tour of the place that I work, and that is never lost on me.
True,
because I could be in a windowless cubicle 3,000 miles away.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna assume it's raining because let's make it more dramatic,
right?
So that's I mean, that will never be lost on me.
That's a good thing. Speaking of seeing people in cars, the only person I actually saw in a car was President Obama, and it was definitely him because it was the full motorcade, and they drove by one of my apartments in the past.
That's
pretty
cool.
And it was like I was looking and looking and looking, and they had a couple like decoys like in there, and it was definitely him because that car looked like no other SUV I've ever seen. And he was waving and he was looking up, and I know what he looks like. And, you know, the glass had just enough of a reflection where you could see, like, I could see his white collar, and it was him. And so that was really cool, because it was, like, literally right outside my place.
What kind of car was he in?
One of those big Cadillacs, like, you know, wow. Like, I mean, so they're worth, like, probably like $400,000, like, oh, you know, every, if, you know, you can't even put anything under it, like, I mean, it's like,
yeah.
So that was really cool and kind of unexpected, and that was, like, when Ashton and Demi were at their peak, that was when Obama was, like, at his peak. Yeah, that was a good view. Well, I love a good celebrity story, and I really like the stories you had and the advice about trying to make it and keeping it moving out here. So thank you so much for coming in. I'm glad that we finally got you guys on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Of course. You guys, please keep an eye out for when our show moves to BidChat. And our show will continue as a podcast, of course, but there's going to be new elements, new ways to interact and join the rant, so please keep an eye open for that. We're looking at July for that premiere, so keep it locked here and on our Facebook, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk, and of course, you can always tweet me over on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate every single one of y'all.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.